Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I know our young people have already left, but when you see them, tell them you appreciate them being here. They were stumbling in about 8 o'clock this morning before the first service, even about 7:45. So they're real troopers. They've left to go have Bible study, and they're actually going to sing in the next service as well. This message is part of the series from 2 Corinthians I'm calling Hope for Cracked Pots. And today the title of our message is, I'll See It When I Believe It. Yeah, you read that right. It's not I'll believe it when I see it. Spiritually speaking, it is true that I'll see it when I believe it. I'm going to be talking about vision, spiritual eyesight. I'm curious, how many of you in this room have some kind of vision correction? You know, either glasses or contacts or that's about everybody. Very few people have 20/20 vision. By the way, you know what perfect eyesight for a Martian is? 20/20/20. Three eyes, get it. You'll get it in a minute. I got one worse than that. What do you call a fish with no eyes? Some of you got that too. FSH, no eye. Heard about a lady who went to buy some eyeglasses for her husband. Then he wore them for a while. Then she took them back. Said, "I want my money back. These eyeglasses don't work because my husband still doesn't see things the way I do." The title of the message is, I'll see it when I believe it. You know, that's just the opposite of a lot of people. A lot of people say, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. 17 years ago when I moved to Tyler, I kept hearing about a Loop 49. When I asked people about it, they said, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, we're seeing parts of it, aren't we? Two lane and a toll road, and we may see the rest of it one of these days. But when it comes to things like that, you may have a right to be a little skeptical. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you should never say, I'll believe it when I see it. There are some people that want some kind of evidence, some kind of proof that God exists. And so they say, well, I'll believe in God, or I'll believe in the resurrection, or I'll believe in Jesus when I see the evidence. No, my friend, spiritually speaking, the opposite is true. You need to understand, I'll see it when I believe it. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about. And today I want to talk to you about correcting your vision. Not your physical vision, but correcting your spiritual vision. And just like when you get glasses or contacts, that which is blurry comes into focus. I hope and pray that by the time I finish this message in a few moments, that some spiritual realities will come clearer into focus for you. Let's read our passage here, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Would you please stand and join me in standing as we honor God through the reading of His holy word? Verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, now if you've listened to me for very long, you know you don't ever start with a therefore, right? You always look to see what it's there for. So look up above it, chapter 4, verse 15. Because of God's expanding grace that we talked about last week. Because of that, keep reading now, verse 16. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. That means physically. Yet inwardly, spiritually, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Outweighs what? All our problems, all our troubles. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, there shouldn't be a chapter break here. You know, the chapters weren't added to the Bible till the 13th century, and sometimes they mess up the train of thought. Paul's talking about seeing the unseen, so look at the next chapter, verse 1. He says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, that's talking about your physical body, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Now, Father, I just pray that today there will be some people who will see things they have never seen before. May you enable our spiritual vision, our eyes of faith, to see things as you see them. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, apparently, obviously, what I'm trying to talk to you about is how I want you to see things with eyes of faith rather than just your physical eyes. Because you know what, folks? Even things you see with your physical eyes sometimes can fool you. I'm talking about your physical sight is not all that reliable. When I was in high school, I did a science project on perception and optical illusions. Actually, I won the science fair that year. And since that time, I've been sort of interested in optical illusions and what causes them. I've put a few on the screen for you. For instance, look at this. Here's an optical illusion. And it may appear as if some of those circles are waving or moving, but they're not. They're all completely stationary. And that's just what it looks like. It's an optical illusion. Here's another one for you. It may look like that this shape is growing or expanding when you look at it, but it's really not. It's staying exactly the same size. And here's one more. Inside this big square, those little bitty squares may look like they're rotating or shifting, but they're not. They're absolutely stationary. You say, what causes that? Well, scientists tell us that it's not the eyes playing tricks. It's your brain playing tricks. There's a process that ophthalmologists call lateral inhibition, meaning that your eye feeds information to your brain and your brain tries to fill in the gaps, and sometimes it can be fooled. So all I'm trying to get you to understand is physical sight can be fooled. It's not all that reliable. I want to talk to you about using spiritual sight because it is much more reliable than physical sight. If God enables me to do what I want to do, and I pray I can do, at the end of this message, you're going to see some things differently. I want you to see differently three spiritual truths today with eyes of faith. Here's the first one. Number one, I hope that you'll be able to see the difference between your body and your spirit. See the difference between your body and your spirit. Here's the verse we just read, verse 16. Outwardly, that's talking about your body, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, that's talking about your spirit, we are being renewed day by day. Now I often say this because it's very important, basic information. God created us in His image. We don't look like God, but just as God is a triunity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but yet there's only one God, He also created us as a triunity in His image. What are we? Body, soul, and spirit. Now, your body is easy to see and it's easy to understand because with your body you make contact with the world below you, the physical world. But your soul, another word for that would be your personality. It's your mind, your emotions, your will. And with your soul, you relate to the world around you, the social world. But everybody has a spirit. And it is that spirit that allows us to connect with God. The spirit is the inner sanctum of your personhood. And it's through your spirit that you come to know God. You might want to jot down this reference. Romans 8:14 says that God's spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. To put that very simply, when you become a Christian, it's like your spirit reaches out and shakes hands with God's spirit, and you're connected through the spirit. So when you think about body, soul, and spirit, you can see the body. That's the outer person that we're going to talk about. But you can't see your spirit and your soul. That's the inner person. Now, with that background, let's notice two things that you need to see about the difference between body and spirit. Number one, your body gets old and eventually dies. Anybody want to say amen to that? Your body gets old and eventually dies. Did you know you started dying the moment you were born? Your body starts wearing out and getting older and older. And really, in the scope of eternity, a whole lifetime passes fast. Some of you may have heard a song by a group called Five for Fighting. And it talks about how you're 15 for a moment, and then you're 33 for a moment, and then you're 45 for a moment, and then you're 99 for a moment. It says life goes fast when you only have 100 years to live. And really, those of you who are a little bit older, you got to admit, time is just passing by so quickly. The Bible says, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears and then vanishes. In a few weeks, hopefully you'll walk out on a cold, crisp morning and you'll breathe out and there'll be that vapor, and then in an instant it'll disappear. The Bible says in connection with eternity, that's how short life is. So by the way, whenever somebody lives a long time, we want to find out what's the secret to their long life. I heard a funny story about a guy that turned 100, and there were people there, reporters, asking him, what is the secret to your longevity? He said, I never smoke, I never drink, I never party, I go to bed at 8 o'clock every night. And as they're interviewing this guy, suddenly they hear a lot of noise and commotion in the room next door, and they said, what's that noise? And the guy said, oh, that's just my dad. He's coming in from a night of drinking and partying. Probably the thing that's going to make you live longer, according to scientists, is genetics. But you know what? You ought to take care of your body. That's a good thing to do. You really ought to fight getting old. I mean, kicking and screaming and do everything you can to delay it. You know why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the more time God gives you on this earth, the more He can use you as His vessel to share the good news. Now, a lot of people, the reason they're trying to avoid getting old and avoid dying is, to be honest, they're afraid of dying. They don't know what death will hold. And so they try to put it off to the last moment. But everybody's got to agree that the older you get, the more aches and pains you have, right? Can anybody relate to that? That you got out of bed this morning and something new was hurting that hadn't hurt before? And what's hurting has stopped working, you know? And I mean, it's just something that happens. And next week, when we go in chapter 5, we'll talk about a message I'm entitling, This Old House. Because we all do get old and die. That's just the truth of the body. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. What about your spirit? Well, this same verse says that your spirit stays fresh and endures forever. Have you ever heard somebody say you're not getting older, you're getting better? Well, spiritually speaking, that really, really is true. Because while on the outside, this body, this shell we live in, this old tent, is getting old. It's decaying, it's corrupting, it's wearing out. But the Bible says our spirit inwardly, we are renewed day by day. So what that means is what's happening on the inside doesn't have anything to do with what's happening on the outside. And you know, I know people who their age says that they're 70, 80, and even 90, but on the inside, they're still young and excited about Jesus. You know why? Because they know what it means to keep on being renewed day by day by day on the inside. It's kind of like I could illustrate it by using the illustration of the Concorde jet. You remember they used to have the Concorde supersonic jets that would fly between Europe and America? They've actually grounded them 4 years ago because they were not cost effective. But number two, these airplanes were undergoing tremendous fatigue and stress on the structure, and there's a reason for that. The Concorde could fly you from London to New York in 3.5 hours instead of the normal 8-hour trip. It would fly at 1,350 miles an hour, twice the speed of sound, at about 60,000 feet of altitude. And when it was that high and that fast, it was undergoing tremendous stress and strain on the outside. The temperature of friction across the wings was 216 degrees Fahrenheit. And believe it or not, when the Concorde was in flight, there was such stress upon it that it actually was 10 inches longer. It stretched out the fuselage 10 inches when it was flying as opposed to when it was on the ground. So they discovered these planes were undergoing tremendous stress. You know, that's a picture of your outer body. But guess what was happening on the inside of that Concorde jet? There were passengers sitting there in 69 degree temperature in these big fluffy seats. All of them were like first class seats. Eating filet mignon. I mean, what was happening on the inside was totally different than what was happening on the outside. And what an analogy of what's happening to you. On the outside, there's all of this stress. There's all of this pressure. All of these things that are bothering you. But the Bible says on the inside, spiritually speaking, you just keep getting renewed and renewed and renewed. You know, one of the first choruses I ever learned as a child, we didn't even know there were choruses back then. And it's still one of my favorite. It goes like this. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? Well, you know what? If you believe it, you'll see it. You say, well, I just can't see it. Well, when you believe it, you will see it. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only see the difference between your body and your spirit, but secondly, see the true nature of your troubles. The true nature of your troubles. And our text says in verse 17, for our light, that doesn't mean like light and dark. It means it doesn't weigh much. Our light and momentary, those are two words you ought to circle there. Light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far, and this is another important word, outweighs them all. You know what? Our problem is we look at troubles, we look at pain through the eyes of the flesh, or we look at trouble the way the world looks at trouble. You know what? When you look at things, you can be deceived. I want to give you another little test here. This is going to be an eye test. I've got something written on this big poster, and I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to give you about 6 seconds. And what I want you to do is just count how many times the letter F appears in this statement. You ready? All right. Just look for yourself and count the F's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. All right. Let's see who is very observant. How many of you counted 3 F's in that statement? Let me see your hand. Come on. Hold them up high. That's good. Great. That's a lot of you. How many of you counted more than three? That's a few of you. How many aren't going to raise your hand for anything? Well, actually, if you counted three, most people do, but there are actually 6 F's because the word of appears 3 times. And the point is, when you read something like this, your brain just skips the word of because you read it all the time and it doesn't even register with there. And that's what happens when you look at things through eyes of the flesh. Sometimes you miss very important things. And what I'm talking about is when you look at trouble, when you look at suffering and pain, you need to look at it through eyes of faith. And there are two things that Paul said about trouble. First of all, number one, he said that earthly troubles are only a temporary inconvenience. They're only a temporary inconvenience. Did you notice that word momentary? He says that's what trouble is. It's momentary. Have you ever been watching your television and then suddenly you lose the picture and this message comes up on your screen that says, "We're having technical difficulties. We apologize for this temporary inconvenience. Stay tuned." And you know what? You look at that and you say, "Hey, this is going to be fixed in a minute." And in a matter of seconds or a matter of minutes, boom, the screen is back. Do you know the Bible says that's true with troubles in life? When you're going through pain and difficulty and disappointment, it's only temporary and then it's going to be past. You know, trouble is like a storm in the night. The storm comes, and then the storm passes. And trouble is the same way. I can remember talking to a lady in Alabama years ago, and I just asked this dear lady who had been through a lot of things in her life, I said, "What's your favorite verse of Scripture?" She said, "My favorite verse of Scripture is, 'And it came to pass.'" And I thought she'd fill it on in with what the rest of the verse said, because that appears a lot in the Bible. I said, "Well, what else?" She said, "No, that's just it. It came to pass." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "That's trouble. When trouble comes, it always passes. It came to pass." It's only temporary. Folks, in light of eternity, you may suffer for years and years, but still in light of eternity compared to eternity, it's just that fast. It's momentary. So what are you going through right now? A financial problem? I just want to tell you, it's not going to be there forever. It's temporary. Are you going through the pain of somebody who hurt you or rejected you or abandoned you? Sure, it hurts right now, but it's not going to hurt forever. It's temporary. Are you going through the grief of the death of a loved one? Sure, you're hurting, but you know what? It's only temporary. It's going to pass. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, one of my favorite verses, Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Trouble is only temporary. Here's the second thing I want you to see about problems, trouble. Number two, earthly troubles are lightweight. Let's use that word, lightweight, compared to heavenly glory. Do you notice he said that they're light and they're momentary? Now, folks, when Paul wrote about the word troubles here, think with me for a minute. He's not talking about a migraine headache or ingrown toenail or something like that. This is a man who had been arrested repeatedly, thrown in jail. This is a man who had been shipwrecked several times, who had been beaten viciously and had even been stoned and left for dead. That's what he called troubles. And you know what he said? They're momentary. They're light. Light compared to the glory of eternity, the glory of being with Jesus. Let me try to illustrate that for you. When you were a kid, did you ever play on a seesaw or a teeter-totter? Let me see your hand. Sure. You know what? If you're about the same weight as the other kid, you can get on one side of the seesaw and they get on the other side and you can kind of push off with your legs and, you know, you're just having fun on a seesaw. Well, I just want to use this seesaw to show you how light your troubles are in life. I want you to take all your troubles, past, present, and future, all your pain, all your disappointment, all your heartaches, and I want you to pile it over here on this seat, okay? Load it down. You got it? There it is. Over here, we're going to put the glory of being with Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? It always, always outweighs any kind of trouble that you experience in this life. Paul says, I reckon that the glory to come is not even worthy to be compared to the suffering of this present world. And folks, if you just start seeing your problems like that, you say, Pastor, I just can't see it. Well, believe it, and then you'll see it. Because I'll see it when I believe it. One more thing I want you to see. Number three, I would like for you to see the invisible realities all around you. The invisible realities all around you. And look at verse 18 again. We fix our eyes. If you just want to write above those three words, fix our eyes, write the word skopos. That's the Greek word. For we skopos. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporarily, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, I want you to see the unseen. You say, that's impossible. That's contradictory. How can you see something that you can't see? Well, you know what? We do it all the time. The word scope, skopos. You know, with scopes, we can see things you can't see with your naked eye. Did you know that for thousands of years, mankind could not see the beauty of the universe and all those gorgeous constellations and galaxies that are out there? But today we can see it because we have telescopes, skopos. For instance, here's a picture of a beautiful galaxy called the Whirlpool Galaxy that's 23 million light years away. Hey, you know how we can see it? We're using a scope to see things you can't see with your naked eye. There are also some things that are so tiny you can't see it with the naked eye. Here's what pollen spores actually look like under an electron microscope. Hey, this is why you're sneezing all the time, all right? Those things look pretty ugly, don't they? Pretty mean looking. Magnified 1,500 times. You know what you're doing? When you look through a telescope, you're seeing the unseen. When you look through a microscope, you're seeing the unseen. All we need is a faithoscope, not a telescope. Not a microscope, a faithoscope. Would you say, where can I get one of those? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And isn't that what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and listen to this, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, you know, as you go through life, you can spend all your time looking around at all these visible things you can see, or you can learn to look for the invisible things. And let me tell you the difference between the two. Number one, the visible is here today and it's gone tomorrow. They're all temporary and they're going to pass away. Everything you can see with your physical eyes one day is going to be gone. Did you hear the line in Sarah's song a while ago? How one day the earth will dissolve like snow. And one day the sun will forbear to shine. Folks, one day even the stars of the sky are going to be plucked from their sockets. One day this beautiful building that we love and worship in is going to be gone. One day Mount Everest is just going to be gone. One day the great oceans are going to be gone. All these things are going to be gone. That's why sometimes when I hear or read the word real estate, I'm thinking it's an oxymoron. Because what we call real estate really isn't real. You think you own some real estate? Well, you come back in a million years and see if you can claim it then, all right? Because only what's going to be in existence a million years from now is really real, and none of the stuff you see with your eyes is real. Look at that person next to you. Go ahead, just look at them. Don't laugh, but look. What you see won't be here in a million years. Now, if you know the Lord, you'll have a spiritual body. It'll be different, but what you just saw won't be there. Look at me. I won't be here either. None of this will be here. It's all going to be passing away. But what is real today? What are some of those things, Pastor, you talk about that I want to see that are unseen? Well, I've already mentioned one. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. He said, but my word will never pass away. This word of God will never, ever pass away. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about black words on white pages. This physical book itself, yeah, it'll be gone like everything else physical, but the eternal Word of God that we find in these pages lasts forever, forever and ever. So what you see is here today, gone tomorrow. Here's the second thing I want you to know. What is unseen or invisible is here today and here forever. It's here today and it's here forever. So you say, Pastor, what are you talking about looking at the unseen? Well, the Word of God is unseen. You know what else is unseen? The souls of men and women, the soul and spirits. I could ask you to look at that person beside you again, but you know what? You can't see their spirit. You can't see their soul. You can't see mine, but it's real. And there are all kinds of things happening around us invisibly that you can't see with your naked eye. Let me illustrate that, and I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want to be like that kid in the movie Sixth Sense who says, I see dead people. But right now, in this room, there are some people that you can't see. Over here, there's 3 ex-jocks talking about the upcoming NFL games this afternoon. Can you see them? Right here. See them? Over here, there's 3 politicians sharing their ignorance about the upcoming election. Oh, and back here, hey, there's cowboys on horses chasing after the bad guys shooting their guns. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about television waves that are passing through this room that you can't see. But if you had a television receiver and it was tuned into the right frequency, guess what? You'd see all those things. In the same way, there are spiritual realities around us all the time that we just can't see with our eyes of flesh. But when our hearts are tuned into God's frequency, we'll see it with the eyes of faith. Let me tell you a story from the Old Testament that perfectly illustrates this. The prophet Elisha was being attacked by a whole army, the army of the Arameans. The reason is because he was such a prophet, he predicted every move they were going to make, and he predicted their strategy, so they were getting beaten all these battles. So the king of Aram said, you know what, we got to do something about this pesky prophet. So one night, the army surrounds his house. Thousands of Aramean soldiers surrounding his house, and Elisha walks out, and it's only Elisha and his servant. This is in 2 Kings 6. And the servant says, oh, master, well, we're goners now. What are we going to do? And Elisha said, chill out. Take it easy. This is exactly what Elisha said. He said, don't worry. They that be on our side are more than those guys. And I just imagine that servant went, 1, 2. Wait a minute, Elisha. You're not very good at math, are you? Because there's only 2 of us and there's thousands of them. What do you mean more for us than for them? And Elisha prayed a simple prayer. You'll find it in 2 Kings 6. Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And when he prayed that prayer, suddenly the servant could see what Elisha could already see. And this is right there in the Bible. Then they saw that the hills, the Bible says, were full of horses and chariots of fire, meaning God has dispatched an entire angelic army to surround the Aramean army. And the servant couldn't see it until God opened his eyes. Guess what? There's a lot going on around you that you can't see with these eyes, but you can see with eyes of faith. And when you say, Lord, open my eyes, and you believe it, then you start seeing it. If you say, I'll believe it when I see it, never happen. But you'll see it when you believe it. Now, have you noticed the 2 things I've talked to you about today that are eternal, that we can't see? The Word of God and the souls of men and women. And that's why we ought to value people, folks. You know why? Jesus didn't die for buildings. He didn't die for denominations. He didn't even die for churches. Jesus died for people. And the soul of a person is valuable because it's immortal. People will exist forever. Their souls will exist forever. I didn't say live forever. They'll exist forever because some will exist in hell separated from God and some will exist in heaven with Jesus, but souls are immortal. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And it's amazing and isn't it sad and tragic how much time and money and energy we put into gathering all of these things we can see, but that'll be gone in a million years. We ought to be devoting our time and attention and vision to the Word of God and the souls of men and women. C.S. Lewis wrote a message called The Weight of Glory, which is based upon this verse. And let me just tell you what he says about it. It's pretty cool. C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat." Get it? That's how temporary all these things are. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. And he says there are only two destinies, either immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. So would you pray that prayer? Would you say, "Lord, open my eyes so I can see people and their condition before you, so I can see things I've never seen before." I don't know why it is, but sometimes people who go through great suffering find it easier to see the invisible. One of my heroes is Johnny Erickson Tada. You've probably heard of her. She's been a quadriplegic since she was 17 years old, but yet she hadn't let it slow her down. She's spoken to millions of people about Jesus. She's even learned to paint with putting a paintbrush in her mouth and has done beautiful artwork. Some of you may have it. But you know what? She doesn't see her body as what's important. She sees her soul as important. In fact, I want to read to you what she says about her body. She says, "I can barely remember what my life was like before the accident. I was 17, young, healthy, athletic. I was a teenager that took a lot of risk. And when I dove into that shallow water 38 or 39 years ago, and my head hit bottom, I snapped my neck. Little did I realize the different life I would end up leading." She says, "I'm paralyzed in all four limbs. My hands don't work. I haven't walked a step in 3.5 decades or more. I feel like I'm sitting on a block of concrete from my collarbone down. I don't know how to describe it other than that." Now, that would be discouraging and depressing to a lot of people, wouldn't it? But if you've heard her or read anything she's written, she's so full of joy because you know what? She's looking at life not with these eyes, but with the eyes of faith. In fact, we're talking about how light, featherweight trouble is. Listen to what she says, exactly those words. "Whatever troubles are weighing you down aren't chains. They are featherweight when compared to the glory yet to come." And I love this next part. She says, "I wish I could take to heaven my old tattered Everest and Jennings wheelchair. I would point to the empty seat and I would say, 'Lord, for decades I was paralyzed in this chair, but it showed me how paralyzed you must have felt to be nailed to your cross.' At that point, with my strong and glorified body," see, she can already see it, "I might sit in it," meaning the chair, "rub the armrest with my hands, look up at Jesus and add, 'The weaker I felt in this chair, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned, the more I discovered how strong you are.'" There is a woman of God who has learned to look at things the way God sees things, not the way the world sees things. Can you see it? You say, "Pastor, I can't see it. I can't see the difference in body and soul and spirit." Just believe it and you'll see it. "Pastor, I can't see my troubles the way you're talking about." Believe it and you'll see it. "Pastor, I can't see the invisible." Believe it and then you'll see it. Because the truth of this word is, I'll see it when I believe it. Father, I just pray that today you'll give somebody a great hunger for spiritual sight, that they would not just look at life and the world and reality through the eyes of flesh, but you'd give them the ability, just like you gave to Elisha's servant. You would open the eyes of their heart, and they would begin to see everything through the filter of your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.